The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hey guys, it's Sammy.
And Sammy, and welcome to Transform, your safe space to form the best version of you.
There are going to be a lot of laughs, and oh boy, a lot of tears.
But we are so grateful to be alongside you in your journey to transform.
Ooh, here we go.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Dear Sammies. We are so excited that you guys loved this little idea we had of our girl chat, girl advice, and just us really hearing what you guys are feeling, going through, and just being able to share our hearts. So we thought it would be amazing to bring it back and do another episode of Dear Sammies. We loved so many of the questions that we're going to dive into today, and I feel like we should just get right into it.
Let's do it. Thank you for everyone who sent a question. If you guys don't know, we do post a link for you to leave a voice memo. We got so many, so we try to pick as many as possible to get to today, but there is going to be monthly Dear Sammies, so keep sending and we'll keep answering.
Yes. Okay, here we go. Starting with our first lovely friend.
Hi, Sammies. It's Tasmin. I just wanted to say I love what you all are doing with Form and this new podcast. It is truly the bright spot of my week when Wednesday comes around, getting to hear you two and the new story you're taking on. The question I had for you all is, how do you navigate change? I know that's a very broad question, but you know, with change comes a lot of anxiety, a lot of just like rumination. How do you keep yourself sane through change? I love you guys. Bye.
Gosh, I love this question. Thank you so much for sending it in. I feel like change just gets a bad rep. I think it's really important for us to kind of take this moment and reframe change as growth, as progress, as transformation, if we will. You're on Transform, but truly change is what keeps us moving. It's what keeps us growing. It's what keeps things interesting. Imagine the opposite of what that change would be in your life right now, which I would argue would just be way more boring. So I think feeling nervous and anxious about change is so normal. We've all been there. We are all there all the time. But try to reframe and understand that nervousness or anxiety as actual excitement and embracing this journey of your growth and just reminding yourself that this change right now isn't scary. It's actually this beautiful blessing of growth.
I love that you said change gets a bad rep, because it really does. And I think that when we change our perspective on change, we actually can be so excited about it. And we actually can see it as such a win that our cells don't want to stay stagnant. It wants to experience the world as we are and as we should. So I think with going through change, the biggest thing I would say too is giving yourself that grace and understanding that you are going through changes. Because sometimes when a lot of emotions come up, we don't understand why, or we're trying to pinpoint it on so many different other things. And I think it's for us to understand change is a big deal, and it is a lot of new shifts and patterns and things that we are evolving into and having to put ourselves in new situations. So the more that we actually can say yes to change, but also have so much grace and understanding that we might go through a lot of different emotions with that change. Okay, let's hear from our next friend. Absolutely love that question and feel like so many of us can relate. Here we go.
Hi, Sammies. My name is Milan. My question is in regards to the vibrationally low emotions that you can feel when you maybe skip a workout or have a day where you don't eat as healthy as you maybe normally would. I think it's so easy to be in this all or nothing mindset of Like if I'm in it, I'm eating healthy all the time, I'm working out all the time. And when I miss a workout, or if there's a day that I'm listening to my body and I need to skip, or I need to really feed what my body needs for that day, and it might not be what is normally deemed healthy, I end up having this guilt and shame surrounding it, even though I know it's what's right for my body in that moment. And I'm just wondering if you guys have ever been in that same mindset, and if you have, kind of what drove the point to you in terms of really knowing, because as much as I know that it's the healthy choice, I still have those negative emotions surrounding it. So I'm just wondering what advice you guys have, or maybe what helped you guys if you've ever felt this way as well. So thank you so much for all your advice, and love and light.
This one I feel like we can all relate to. So I just want to thank you for this question. It is such a real thing, especially when you are starting out. In the beginning, you do need more of that discipline structure. And so I think if you are in your journey and you feel like, okay, I really showed myself I can do it, and I hit that point of being really disciplined and really structured, and now I can tell my body is craving a little bit of different and playfulness and curiosity and being intuitive in such a conversational way that your body is trying to talk to you. So I would invite you in to start to play a little bit. Start to ask yourself when the thought comes through of, okay, maybe I don't want to do that really intense workout today. My body's craving a walk. But then a thought comes through of, no, you have to do the workout, because if you don't do the workout, then you're not going to meet your goals, then you're not going to be committed to yourself. All of those really intense thoughts can come through. And I think that's a moment for you to just be an observer and look at your thoughts, as they also are just trying to protect you and help you. And they see that you've wanted to reach those goals, you've wanted to be disciplined. Maybe that's now their safe zone. And so now I think it's having this conversation with those thoughts of, hey, our bodies are actually craving some gentleness. And this does not mean we're going off the rails and we're going off the track. This actually means that we are starting this conversation where we can still reach our goals, as well as starting to connect with our body of it telling me when it's hungry and when it's not, when it needs hard movement and when it needs a little bit slower. And this is actually all going towards you reaching your goals. And for me, I can connect to this a lot of the way in being a perfectionist. And I think those patterns have served me for so long in the past. So also not being hard on ourselves, that it is really uncomfortable to kind of know you should be doing something else, but it feels more comfortable to be really, really, really disciplined. So it's kind of this new moment where yourself is really ready for you to be this new parent to it and teach it the ways of, actually, we can have different days. We don't need to be so rigid, because you've done that, you've succeeded, and now I'm going to challenge us for more and change.
Yes, I so agree. And I also hear so much of myself in this question. And I am so guilty to also going from 0 to 100 and putting myself in such a rigid box that I actually couldn't live my best life. To get so real, I remember one semester in college, I'd come back from summer break. And that summer break, I spent the entirety of my summer working out, eating really clean, living in such a box, y'all. I got back to school, and as we do, we went to a party and I started to have some drinks. And the shame and guilt that came over me as I'm drinking beer, to the point where I literally left the party, put on workout clothes, and ran the track on a Friday night in college. And I think back to that version of myself, and I send her so much love, because she thought everything she was doing was reversing all of the hard work and all of the results that she had seen, that that simple sip of beer was going to reverse me back to exactly where I used to be. And I wish I then took that moment to find less rigidity, more lifestyle in the healthy habits that I could find, love, and truly maintain. And I'm so grateful to be at a place in my life now where I am in such maintenance mode, living this realistic lifestyle that I choose and love and want to show up for day in and day out on my good days, on my bad days. It's where I thrive. It's what I need. And I think with self-discipline, sometimes we just create these routines that are so strict that we truly are a prisoner to a plan and they're not realistic. Your self-discipline needs to work for you, not against you. So for me now, I really focus on what I would call eating intuitively. And that's as simple as eating when you're hungry and stopping when you're full. I also love working out intuitively, craving certain movements based on what I want to do that day, not just doing it because that's what someone told me to do or that was, you know, a quote unquote should that I was hearing. And I think this is just really a pattern of starting to listen to yourself. And if you want to indulge, if you want to have, you know, that big slice of chocolate cake and you're super conscious and thoughtful of intentionally wanting to indulge, then do it, but do it on purpose. Listen to your body. Do not ignore your hunger cues and your cravings. Your relationship with yourself is not meant to live in a box. Never feel like you need to be a prisoner to a plan. And if that is how you feel right now, I am telling you, and we know that there is a better way for you.
Boom. Your body's craving for the conversation, baby. That's what's up. I love that.
So this year in our house, I would definitely claim that Andrew is the cook of the house, but I am really trying to cook more. I want to have fun with it. I want to experiment. And for me, what's been the most fun in doing that was getting new cookware. And I have been obsessed with caraway. My mother-in-law, Tracy, who's also my best friend, she was staying with us and we're having all of our friends over for dinner. We're having 12 people over and I go downstairs at 8:30 in the morning. And what do you know? Tracy has our entire caraway cook set out. She's literally going off about how beautiful it is. We actually have the black with the gold accents and it matches our kitchen so beautifully, which I feel like our cookware in the past, I've always had to keep it in a drawer because it was such an eyesore, but it is beautiful. And beyond just that, it's also fully non-toxic. So caraway products are made without any toxic materials like PFAs, PTFEs, PFOAs, or any of those other hard to pronounce chemicals that none of us know what they even stand for. It's also so easy to cook on. They have that naturally slick surface, which means minimal oil and butter. Everything you make can kind of slide off the pan. So very easy cooking. I'm just obsessed with caraway and so are so many other people. They have over 65,000 five-star reviews of their caraway kitchen sets. So would love for you to try it for yourself. Visit carawayhome.com/transform to take advantage of the limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive for our listeners. So visit carawayhome.com/transform or use code transform at checkout. Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern. Y'all, today I was reflecting and sharing this with you, and I literally, knock on wood, have not gotten sick in the last year. And what I attribute that to is taking Armra colostrum. I seriously swear by having such a strong immune system now by taking Armra every single day. You can actually take up to 4 scoops a day, and I've worked my way up to 4 scoops. And I prefer the unflavored one because I truly don't taste it at all. I put it into my giant emotional support Stanley water bottle and I literally don't taste it at all. And I think a lot of us just look to vitamin C, but I would argue that Armra colostrum is this whole food versus just a supplement that really does give us the most amazing immunity possible. For me, what I've also experienced and that I genuinely love is it's such an energy giver too. I try to not drink a lot of caffeine. I do love my morning coffee, but even on days that I don't indulge with my morning coffee, my Armra colostrum really gives me a beautiful sense of energy. I even use it as a pre-workout. So before I do my form workout or before I go meet my trainer, I definitely make sure I have my full water, drink as much as possible with my 4 scoops of Armra colostrum. So with that said, we've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/transform or enter transform to get 15% off your first order. That's tryarmra.com/transform. Let me know if you try it. Let me know if you love it. You know your girl will still be taking it every single day.
I have a question in terms of how do you take care of yourself and love yourself only for you? Like, I feel like the motivation behind everything that I've done, I've always been so good at eating healthy and moving my body and all of those good things and like healthy habits. But I've come to realize now that I live alone that like a lot of what my healthy habits were charged behind was this people-pleasing effort of performing my best or wanting to feel my best in the presence of other people, which I don't think is bad, but it's like I want to come from this place of moving my body and eating the right things only for me because it makes me feel good, not because of something else someone else perceives of me. And I just wonder, I feel like at the root of anything that we do for ourselves, is there always going to be this outer shell of like, oh, it's technically influenced by other people. Does that even make sense? Do you know what I'm talking about? I don't know. I would appreciate any advice in this topic because I know you've hit the surface of it, but I'd love to know more.
Oh girl, we are laughing because we know, we feel it, we are experiencing it. I think there's so much power in what happens when we are alone. I reflect on so much of my life, and I was actually scared to be alone. I never didn't have a roommate. I would keep around friendships and relationships that weren't even fulfilling me just because I didn't want to be alone. And I think when we actually invite and allow that solitude and that stillness in, that's when we really learn what we want to do. Not what we want to do for everyone else or because everyone else is watching. And I'm actually so excited to hear that you are diving into this and that you're having this new chapter that's inviting so much more solitude for you to get to know yourself. Because getting to know yourself is fun. And the more time you spend alone, the more you're going to realize, oh, like I love this type of food. I love this type of movement. I love this type of music, even if that's not what's popular amongst your friends or your family or your partner, you're choosing it for you. And that is everything. Really romanticize it. Truly, getting to know yourself is so important and so fun. We always say your relationship with yourself is the most important relationship you will ever have. And I'm so excited for you to still be working towards seeing what you're craving, not just what your friend group or society is telling you to do because of some trend or because it would be a cute Instagram story. I think the other part of your question, though, is always there going to be this element of wanting to do things for other people to see? I almost want you to reframe that and use other people's eyes or validation as something that can be momentum and accountability to keep you showing up further. So once you know what it is that you want to do for yourself, I want you to know that you getting to know you and you showing up for yourself every day could actually be the beautiful bit of inspiration that someone else needs to hear, see, or feel to choose themselves and learn what that looks like for themselves. So even something as simple as me posting my form workout on my Instagram story every day, I'm not only doing that for me. I know deep in my heart that someone else is going to see that, feel inspired to choose whatever they're going to do for them that day. So I do think a bit of the other people watching can actually lead to this like contagious, positive outpour domino effect of let's all show up for ourselves, get to know ourselves, but don't do it for someone else. Do that for you.
Yes, I feel like I can definitely relate to this question wholeheartedly in just the ways that I have people pleased for a very large part of my life and continue to strive to create new ways around that. And I think I know actually how excited I am for you that this is appearing for you and that you are questioning it. And I think knowing with even the question, the part two of, you know, are we always going to crave other people? I think that's also something, like Sam said, creating a new perspective with it and also not needing answers around it right now. Understanding that we will always crave other people's understanding or approvals, et cetera, but letting that come into play when you actually start to play right now. Like you are in a moment of discovering and playing. The fact that you're like, I wonder if I actually like this. Like I encourage you to just start being an observer of all the different things, even like eating with music or eating in silence, going to the beach, doing different types of movement, like actually understanding what you like and start like being a witness to it. What did you encounter when you started to see that you were listening to music and eating food? Or do you actually like to go out to eat? Like, this is going to be the yummiest time for you. And everyone is going to witness it and actually be like, what is she doing? Because the way that you're going to be so connected to yourself, you won't even need to explain or need people's approval. You're just going to be so excited that you feel so connected about the things that you are so excited about and that you feel like, oh, I've chosen these from me, that the family, the friends, everyone's going to actually be like, wow, she is on one and she's a rock climber now. Did you know that? But look at her go. Like, who knows what it's going to be? But as long as you are listening to what your heart desires, you're going to, all those like other questions, I feel like will fizzle out. So I am so excited for you. Take this time to play, not judging at all of what you actually get interested in. Some things you won't like, some things you will like, and no judgment again of maybe some things that you did say you used to like. You don't need to explain why you don't like them anymore. This is so your journey. And I'm so excited for you that you are choosing you, baby. All right. Our next one. Let's see. This is so fun.
Dear Sammies, I have a question regarding productivity and toxic productivity. I don't know if anyone else feels like this, but I feel like no matter how much work I do, it's never enough, or I've never accomplished enough, or I'm never deserving of rest. And this is like a mindset that I have. It doesn't matter how much work I accomplish, how long I work, how many assignments I finish. I still, after it, I don't feel accomplished and I feel like I haven't done enough. Sometimes I can feel like this with my movement and my wellness habits as well. Even after finishing a super hard workout, I still find myself like 10 minutes later being like, oh, like I don't really like deserve to rest tomorrow, or I don't deserve X, Y, and Z because I didn't do enough. When in reality, I look back and I'm like, that's kind of silly because I've just put so much effort into what I was working on. And then sometimes about toxic productivity, I feel like I have so much to do and I want to accomplish so much that I end up feeling overwhelmed and I actually end up not doing anything because I'm just so overwhelmed and I can't pick one thing to focus on. So my question is, do you have any tips about how you deal with this, if you deal with it, or how I can deal with it? Love you so much. And thank you for inspiring me every day.
I love you, girl. I think this might be the one that I connect to the most out of all these questions today and where I'm at in my life now. I have worked deeply on this in therapy and even to connect with you in a state of understanding what your nervous system is doing. When you start to think of all the things you have to do, your body goes into straight overwhelm and it feels like it can't move, so it freezes. And there's fight, flight, fawn, freeze. And I go into freeze a lot too when I feel like my list and everything I want to accomplish. We have so many thoughts go through our days and we can be inspired by so many people and there's so many things we want to do. But if we actually let those thoughts take us, we can just be like, how the heck am I supposed to do all of those things? And my girl, it is impossible. Like truly, the fact is that we will always have dreams and to-dos. There will always be things on our heart. The most important thing we can do in that moment is understanding what is good for right now. What can I do right now that actually is the right next step or next to-do, rather than letting all of the big list come to your head or all of the big dreams, and trusting that each thing that is actually meant for you, you're going to feel that little sizzle again, trusting your intuition over your mind, where your mind's going to run wild of all the things, but your intuition is going to tell you actually what step to take next. So just taking a breath when that overwhelmingness comes over and knowing that that's okay. And then asking yourself, what do you want to do in this moment? And maybe you look at that list and it says, oh, I just need to breathe. That could be your next step. And then number two could be, okay, now I actually want to send 5 emails. Like really dissecting it and taking it super slow and letting yourself tell you what is best to do next. Another thing I would say, and this was one that I'm really grateful that I'm leaning into, that people have told me my whole life, so I hope it sinks a little bit for you, but it's really sinking for me now. And it is, you are worthy by just being. And I want to say this because I feel like I felt worthy if I was productive. I felt worthy if I was awarded. I felt worthy if I looked good. I felt worthy from so many other things. And really where I found my most worth was by me just being, like truly just showing up, just being me. And I would encourage you to start repeating that to yourself, that you are more than enough without doing any of these things on the list. They are all bonuses. They are all for you to experience the fruit of life, but you actually were placed on this earth to just be the light and be you. And the more that you can continue to carry that and know that and kind of build these new patterns and new brainwaves that we have not been taught to do. Like, let me say this, we have been fully rewarded that the only way we can get love or the only way that we are worthy is if we are productive or if we're doing something. And so it is very new and rest is new. And I'm so excited for you to ask this question. And I invite you in to get a little uncomfortable with going the opposite direction and feeling like your to-do list will get to, you will get to the things you absolutely need to get to, and trusting in you really listening to yourself and what you need to do when that little sizzle comes through. Plus knowing that your worth is not connected to what you do. It is connected to who you are.
Wow. Sam, that was, I needed to hear that. I totally relate to this question too. This topic of toxic productivity is so real. This feeling of not being deserving of rest. But we are so here to tell you that taking pause isn't actually putting your foot on the brake. Taking pause is actually putting gas in the tank. And I think for me, what I've realized is my work ethic actually needs to mirror my rest ethic. If I have a huge day, you know what that means? I need a really chill night where I am prioritizing my rest and my sleep and recharging. And truly, I think for anyone who is focused on productivity, it's because you're seeking progress. But remind yourself, progress requires rest. You can't get to where you want to get if you are going to burn yourself out. So the only way to avoid burnout is to actually prioritize rest. Thank you for asking this because, my girl, we are relating left and right here.
We really are. And I also want to say we did record a podcast, if you haven't listened to it, on self-compassion and self-love. And I just feel like that will be a really beautiful hug for you in this journey of stepping into our worth by just being and having compassion of what's going to come through. And we love you. Hi, friends. Do you guys ever think about the small actions in life that can make such a big difference? Like, say, taking care of your gut. I am so excited to share something that's been such a game changer for me, and that is Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. It's truly next level. It's a probiotic and a prebiotic. It always supports your digestion, your overall well-being, and so many other things, and it's super easy to add into your routine. I have been loving the way that Seed makes me feel. I have been taking Seed for 3 years now, which is so crazy. And you know, when you have that inner sense of wellness, my skin's thanking me, my digestion's thanking me, I also am so grateful that it is sustainable. It's travel friendly. You don't need a fridge. What I truly love about Seed as well is that it is completely backed by serious science. It is plant-based without any of those weird additives that we do not need. It's truly a small step that fits right into my health journey, and I'm so excited for it to fit into yours. So trust your gut with Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. You can go to seed.com/transform and use code 25transform to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/transform, code 25transform.
Hey friend, I'm Nicole Walters, mom of three, your internet bestie and founder of Inherent Learning Company. If you're looking for the motivation you need to pursue a life of purpose, then join me each week on the Nicole Walters podcast as I share my hard-learned lessons and answer your DMs about life, business, and everything in between. We'll laugh, we'll cry, and we'll grant ourselves grace as we do life together. Check out the Nicole Walters podcast every Tuesday here on Dear Media. You can listen anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Okay, next, Colin. Here we go.
Hi there. From the LA Form WhatsApp group, we have created a subgroup of girls who are starting a Form book club. And we would love to know what your favorite books are. Are there any that you swear by as your favorite book of all time? Because perhaps that is what our Form book club will start with as an ode and tribute to our fearless leaders.
I'm obsessed with you guys. Like the fact, if y'all don't know, in Form, we do have these WhatsApp city groups, and they're now stemming into all of these other literal group chats of besties around the world, all doing Form and listening to Transform. The fact that we now have a book club is the best thing ever. So thank you guys for just being you. When I think about my favorite books of all time, the first one that comes to mind for sure is Atomic Habits by James Clear. In my wellness journey, that was truly a book that allowed me to make the investment into my self-development and into my self-improvement. So Atomic Habits. Next up, speaking to productivity, is definitely Essentialism. Essentialism really helped me understand that I can actually do more by doing less. And if you relate to anything we were chatting about in the productivity question, definitely read Essentialism. And then lastly, a book that totally changed my life and helped me beyond measure recently was a book called Signs by Laura Lynn Jackson. And I lost my mom December 2022, and Signs really helped me cope with just a lot of the grief that I was feeling, and such a beautiful gift of actually learning how I can feel my mom continuing to exist through all the signs of the universe. I think grief is something that comes across really taboo, but it's actually something we all have in common. And it can be really awkward to talk about, but I'm always going to be the person here saying it is so important we talk about it. So if you're grieving, or if you know anyone grieving, I highly, highly recommend the book Signs.
Beautiful. Okay, I have my top three. And this was really hard to actually say top three, but I'm going to start with my fiction book because actually fiction got me back into reading. I'm not the best reader, I have to say. So this book club is incredible. I'm more of an audiobook girly, which I guess that's still reading if you want to say that, but you know, up for debate. But I think fiction really got me back into reading. So I'm just going to say a fun one. It is It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover. It is quite spicy. There's a movie coming out, which I cannot wait to see. But I felt like when I read that, it was such an intentional time for me to like sit, open a book instead of maybe watching TV or being distracted on my phone. And I loved this book. I read it so quick. It made me like beat my heartbeat in all these different ways. It was so good. So that's my fiction recommendation. My next book is The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. This was a book that I also read in the beginning of my wellness journey, and it was recommended by JT, my fiance. And it was all about you not being your thoughts and how to actually define the relationship with your thoughts, which I think is really powerful because we don't also learn that we are not actually our thoughts. And that book changed my life, absolutely changed my life. He's also an incredible author and has so many other books. Another book I read recently is The Universe Has Your Back by Gabby Bernstein. Mm. This one also is really powerful for me. Kind of a really good feelsy, like mantras that I can add into my day. Really a tool that can just shift yourself. Like if you need a big shift, this one kind of got me out of a little bit of a funk and was like, oh, I remember the universe has my back, baby. And she is just amazing. Gabby Bernstein like truly has changed my life. So that is another book that I absolutely adore and love. And I can't wait to see what they read.
Yes, definitely tell us what you guys pick. Now you've got six options. Can't wait.
Okay, our next caller. Let's see what she's got to say.
Hi there, Sammies. I have a question for both of you, and I do apologize if you've touched upon it in previous podcasts or content that I've not yet consumed, but it is about mental health and how you both keep yourselves in check. I know the meditations in terms of affirmations on form are fantastic, and I definitely do them myself, but I would love to know, is it therapy that you both also ensure you practice? And if so, how did you find those resources? And how often do you make sure you kind of live by them just as kind of guidance for all of us? Not that any of us will take it as gospel, but it's just great to know for people that we really admire. And if it's other things like journaling, like the journal that you came out with, the different prompts, or other aspects to keeping really yourself grounded, what are those practices? Because I think a lot of us would love to incorporate it into our routine as we find our groove and rhythm as well. Thank you.
Gosh, absolutely can pop off on this question. And I think it's so helpful for people to hear what has helped Sammy and I progress in our mental health and mindfulness. For me, I want to take it back to when I started to dive into this, and you guys have probably heard me speak on it, and it was journaling. Journaling was my introduction into starting the conversation with myself, is how I like to word it. It was the moment for me to be having a lot of questions and being curious about myself, but feeling like I didn't know myself. So it was a very interesting moment in time. And I felt like journaling allowed my body to start speaking to me and to get out of my mind more. So what helped me was doing morning pages when I first started out. And that was truly taking 3 pages and getting all of my thoughts out, no judgment on the page, letting it all live there. And then I took the journal prompts that are the form prompts that are very reflective, as well as serving myself in the way that it brings me back to gratitude, which I think when you are really wanting to focus on your mental health, gratitude is one of the number one ways to give yourself the biggest hug and remember, you know, what you do have rather than focusing on what you don't have. And so I think journaling was the biggest introduction for me incorporating mindfulness. It felt the least intimidating as well. And I think to jump to now of my biggest tools and how I incorporate them, therapy has absolutely, without a doubt, changed my life. And I want to marry my therapist one day. I love her so much. And therapy, I do it once a week and I don't miss a week. It is so priority to me. And my team knows it's priority to me. My fiance knows it's priority. Like that time is so crucial because of how much it has changed my life. And I think the journey of finding a therapist, I will admit, is interesting. Mm-hmm. I think that the best way I've found therapists, because I do not have the same one I have now, and I want to talk to that. My first like ever therapist were referrals. So it was either a friend or, you know, a family member, someone sending me either the office that hosted therapist or their specific therapist. I do think it is a good way to get a good therapist by a referral, because there are some wonky ones out there. Like, truthfully, I have had experiences where I'm like, I am so uncomfortable in this situation. It doesn't actually feel like it's serving me. And that's so okay. That's why we like try. It's like a relationship. You're really trying to groove with who feels good for you. And it's going to be different than a lot of other people. I look at so many seasons of my life and I've had different therapists, and some people stick to the same therapist for life. Personally, I feel like I evolve quite often, that I need someone that can hold space for my change and also have their own modalities that are different than the other therapist. So for example, the one that I'm working with right now, she is an expert at IFS. And IFS was this, I actually learned it from Gabby Bernstein, and it's about diving into all parts of you. So we have so many different parts of us, and it goes back to like truly when we were a child. And I remember not really remembering a lot of my child experiences and wanting to I had so many questions come through and feeling like they were pigeonholing me of why I wasn't getting to the next step. And it was because I needed a therapist that could actually take me through almost these really intuitive internal therapy sessions where I'm like talking to different parts of me and I'm learning these different parts of me and I'm accepting them and I'm being experimental in that, rather than I've had a therapist where it was like, you know, my second boyfriend and I just wanted to like talk about him. And, you know, she was like great for that energy. So this one's a little bit more serious. And I actually, she was from a referral as well of like an office that I was recommended. And I will say too, never judge your therapist by like a book by its cover. Cute little story. My therapist has a very, very, very strong accent. Like, this accent is so strong. Sometimes I don't know what word she's saying. And for someone, when I took my consultation call, I was like, why would they recommend me to her? Like, I am so confused. I'm not connecting. But there was something in me that was like, Sam, this office sent it to you. You really respect the people that are part of this office. Why don't you just take the call and take a chance? And I took that call, you guys. And I had one of the best first therapy sessions of my life. And I knew she was it for me. We connected in so many ways. She heard me. She was like, she was actually, if I could write on paper, my perfect therapist. And in the end, I said, I have to know, like, where is your accent from? And she was like, oh, I'm from Colombia. Like, I just moved here from Colombia. And if you guys don't know, I'm Colombian and my mom's family lives in Colombia. And it was just like, and I have chills because my grandma just passed away at that time and she was born in Colombia. And I'm like, I just have to believe somehow we're connected in some way. And you are just the perfect person to be in front of me. But to say that therapy is something that I would encourage anyone to dive into, it has been such a game changer.
I have chills too. I love that. And I think what you'll hear in my response to this question is such a common thread in such a different way to Sammy's, and that common thread being therapy is everything. I have done a lot of therapy in my life. I think figuring out what type of therapy and who the perfect therapist is a lot of trial and error. You're working with a person. It's kind of like dating or finding a new friend. Like, there's a lot of options and a lot of personalities. So it's really knowing what you need or where you want to focus, because there are a lot of different modalities. I found my current therapist actually about like 2 weeks after my mom had passed away. And I remember sitting in my grief, not knowing how to move through it, feeling so stuck, so depressed. The questions I had without any answers, I looked at my husband straight in his face and I said, I need help. I need help. And I knew I wanted someone that specialized in grief, and I knew I wanted someone that specialized in trauma. So with those two simple things, Andrew and I did a simple Google search, and at this point we were like traveling, so I couldn't even find someone local to me. And we did a quick Google search. I remember seeing 10 options pop up, and each option had their own bio. Every therapist had their own bio. And my current therapist, her bio, what stuck out to me was that her career actually stemmed out of not being able to move through her own personal grief in her experience of her personal trauma when she lost her parents. And I remember immediately emailing her, asking her to speak. We hopped on the phone that day. And when I tell you, this was probably one of the first people I spoke to during that time. And come to find out, her parents actually lived in my hometown where my mom was living when she passed. And my therapist had actually moved home to be with her parents when she knew that they were passing. So we had Boca Raton in common. And then come to find out, she was exactly my mom's age. My mom passed away at 59 and Susan's 59. And she's also Jewish. None of things that I had as prerequisites, but all similar to Sammy as immediate signs of almost feeling my mom through this stranger and through this woman who knew how to show up and help me when I didn't even know how to help myself. And from there, we started working together and have continued to work together once a week. And we actually do something called EMDR. And EMDR stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing. And for me and my personal experience with my trauma and my grief, EMDR has been really helpful. It doesn't necessarily eliminate your trauma. It doesn't really help you forget the memories of just everything that has happened. But what EMDR has done for me is actually give me tools to move through my grief with such a profound level of inner peace and day by day more acceptance, and truly has been life-changing. And I think I get asked so often, like, how are you this person with everything you've been through, right? And I think to that, I always say, we all have our stuff. But I choose to show up for myself and give myself the tools that I need to be my best self every day. And my therapist and EMDR for me is truly, like, if I look at my toolkit on one hand, a prime thing that I am seeing there.
I love that we're talking about therapy on a podcast right now. Like, that is, I think that just shows where all of you are at, like the fact that these are the questions being asked. And just know we talk a lot about our toolkit, and your toolkit is going to change. And if you're craving deeper, you're craving more. I'm so excited for you to add these new tools into that toolkit that you wear. Okay, let's dive into our last friend.
From someone who's kind of always been mid-sized their entire life, I feel like we're finally seeing that representation on social media, especially TikTok. And I'm so grateful and thankful for that. But I still feel this desire to look or feel a certain way. And I know that my body has potential to reach that goal. But I also know that I can get into a restrictive mindset when it comes to my relationship with food and exercise. So I just didn't know if y'all had any wisdom or insight into balancing this sort of self-love mindset with the desire to feel confident in your own body.
I mean, what a great closing question. Hopefully y'all know a little bit about my story. And if you don't, I am so here to share it, but I could not identify with a question more. And I love this mindset that you're sharing of, I really am hearing you affirm yourself that you are perfect the way you are right now. And it is so okay to crave change, to want to see what you and your body are capable of feeling and always seeking that improvement. Self-development and self-improvement are hot because of great reason. We all should be bettering ourselves. Being stagnant is not it. It seems like in hearing your question, you actually do already have so much confidence. And I totally am right by you and loving seeing this wave of really beautiful mid-sized women coming and sharing and owning and just spreading all the body positivity. That is what we love and that is what we need. And it's all around the love and acceptance of ourselves. But again, it is such a beautiful thing to also want more for yourself. And that is so okay. I think that fitness and certain modalities of eating are too often used as quote unquote punishments for people trying to change for these superficial reasons. And that's when they evolve way too much restriction. But in your case, I really am simply hearing that you just want to feel your best. You want to see what your body can do. You want to see how strong you can be. And you want to do that through movement and food that you will enjoy, not doing that to yourself as that quote unquote punishment. I truly believe that we all deserve to love ourselves, to accept ourselves, and love every bit and part of ourselves. And our bodies are a big part of who we are. For so long in my personal journey, I had a complete disassociation from my body. I didn't even look at my body as a part of me. And now to be sitting here today so proud of everything I've done with full love and full acceptance of who I am, my body included, I am just so excited for you. I'm literally beaming through the screen and hopefully you can feel it through the mic, but truly go you. You are so capable of everything you want and more, and remind yourself how deserving you are of that.
Yes. Truly, I am hearing this and just like excitement for you as well. And also giving you that permission to have your dream self, whatever that is for you. And I have no idea, my girl, but giving you that full permission. Like, you have permission to change. You have permission to want the body you want inside and out. Like, you have permission. And I think it's allowing all of it to coexist. You are allowed to honor and support and love mid-sized bodies. And you are also allowed to honor and support a different type of body. And then you are allowed to choose what you want for you right now. And I think it's getting back to you just always following your truth. And if your truth is telling you, hey, I really actually want to be more disciplined in this area and I want to see these goals and I feel like I can reach these, my girl, you do not need to explain to anyone of why you want to reach those or why you want to do those. Just continue following that sizzle that's coming on your heart and remember that you can cheerleader all of the other women in the world that are choosing to do the things that the way they're choosing to do them.
So perfect. Such a great last question. Guys, we love this more than anything. We feel your energy in the room with us. Honestly, our goal of Transform is for us to all be on this journey together. We are all changing. We are all transforming. And these monthly Dear Sammies give us that opportunity to do it together. So keep sending us your voice memos. We love you and we'll see you in the next one.
Can't wait. See ya. Thank you so much for being here. You listening to this episode is you saying yes to living the dream life you absolutely deserve. We release new Transform episodes every Wednesday. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a thing.
Also, we would love to hear from you, so leave us a review. And if you include your Instagram handle, we might even reach out and gift you a complimentary form membership. You can also follow us on Instagram at Transform and then at Sammy Spalter and at Sammy Clark. We love you.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.